This morning, I want to talk from the text, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, 1 through 9. It's the famous God of all comfort chapter. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I'm going to read through and then make a few teaching points along the way. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Comfort in the New Testament carried with it something more than just a soothing sympathy. It's the idea of strengthening and helping and making strong and making brave. The phrase God of all comfort in this text is the word parakletos. It's a Greek word speaking of the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, who comes alongside to help us. The God of all comfort, to go to verse 4 then, the God of all comfort who is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. The phrase God of all comfort, who is the Holy Spirit, then the phrase, who comforts us in all of our troubles, it literally means that it's the Holy Spirit who strengthens us, helps us, makes us strong, makes us brave. Then the text says, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. Usually I think when we think of this text, we think so that we can comfort those in any trouble. I think usually we think that if I've had cancer, then I can help, I can walk alongside with someone, I can encourage someone who's had cancer. And that's good, that's a great thing. Actually, the ladies Lauren, when she was came up and told us about Courageous Mamas, and I love that group meets together. They meet together, they encourage one another, they bring comfort to one another, they fellowship together. And also the Moms Connection, all of our signs that we had up here on the stage, all those things, they do that. That's fellowship. They comfort one another. And that's all great and wonderful. And this text in any way, shape, or form is not discounting that. They do have shared experiences in both cases. Shared experiences can go a really far way. That's a great thing, intentional on the Lord's part. But this text isn't talking about that. It is kind of indirectly. This text is talking about, it says that the comfort that we receive in our lives is given to us so that we can comfort those in any trouble. So it's speaking beyond that. It's speaking just beyond our life experiences. What it's basically saying, ladies, is that we are not limited to our experience when it comes to comforting others. That's what it's literally saying. And the reason it's saying that is because the comfort that we are offering is the comfort that the Holy Spirit brings. It's the comfort that He has given us when we have had time in our own suffering. So we know His comfort. And when we come alongside of someone else, when He comes along of someone else inside of us, and we, through our mouths, we offer that comfort, whatever that looks like, it's the Holy Spirit in us that's doing the comforting. So that's why it doesn't matter if we understand the experience that someone has had or not. Because when this happens, it's not our common experience that we're bringing. It's the Holy Spirit that we're bringing. It's the power that we know of firsthand because we've experienced Him ourselves. That's what we bring. And that's why, so it's true in, like, for the Courageous Mamas and the Moms Connection, all that stuff. Yes, it's true in there. It's still the Holy Spirit. But even if it's not something that we have shared an experience with someone, it's the Holy Spirit in and through us. So we're not limited by our experience when it comes to comforting others. Because the comfort we are offering is the Holy Spirit living in us and flowing through us that's actually doing the comforting. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Yeah. And I think this matters. I think it matters for us to know this, because when, you know, if we don't think, if I've had cancer, and I think if I didn't understand this accurately, I would think that my whole realm, my whole world of being able to walk alongside someone would just kind of be included in, well, you know, who's ever had cancer. So often, I mean, I think in our own minds, we think, I'd really like to help. I see that person is suffering, but I don't really know anything about what she's suffering because I've never suffered what she has suffered. And this text is saying, not that. Although that's a very good thing. That's also applies. But it's saying we have been comforted by the Holy Spirit ourselves so that we can share that comfort that we know firsthand with someone else. Has nothing to do with if we, you know, have actually shared the experience that they have had. And if we don't get this, then it seems like we're just limited. It seems like we cannot help. There's nothing that we can do to help. And it's just not the case. It's just not the case at all, because after all, it's not us helping. It's the Holy Spirit in us. It's the Holy Spirit in us. Then if we go on to verse 5, it says, "For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." And it means there it overflows into the lives of others. So through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through the person of Jesus Christ, who's living, the Holy Spirit's, the Holy Spirit is living in and through us. The Holy Spirit is the presence, is the person and the presence of Jesus Christ living in and through us. And he continues to live his life in and through us. So through Christ who lives in us, in the form of the Holy Spirit, the person of Jesus Christ, we realize sufferings. We realize the sufferings. Let me go back and read that verse again. "For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives," and they do. And the sufferings of Christ here means the spirit, anything spiritual, physical, emotional, or mental. So it's our inside parts, our outside parts, any sufferings of Christ whatsoever that we experience. That's what it's getting at here. Any suffering of Christ. It says, "So also, through Christ, our comfort overflows," overflows into the lives of other people. Whatever, it's unique to us, our suffering, but it basically is getting at here is any suffering that causes us to move from self-reliance to Holy Spirit dependence. That's the type of suffering that it's talking about here. Verse 6, "If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering we suffer." Paul is saying, if we are distressed, it's for your comfort and it's for your salvation. And if we are comforted, if we have been comforted by the Holy Spirit, which we have, it is for your comfort, because it's that it's the Holy Spirit himself that's going to move through us into your life, who is going to comfort you. And when that happens, it produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. I used to think when I read this passage, I used to think that this part when it says, if we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. I used to think, I thought for a long time here, that salvation, the word salvation here, meant that, you know, Paul shared a lot of stories, a lot of his own stories through the Bible, many of them. And I used to actually think that, like, if you go to somewhere and you hear someone speak or teach or whatever, that, you know, if and they share about comfort that they've had in their life, you know, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that power maybe overflows into your life, that people could actually get saved from hearing about that. You know, that they could actually become saved. I mean, actually, like, saved through the stories that people tell. But the farther along I got in my walk with the Lord, it occurred to me, something that's just so very basic, is we don't get saved by inspirational stories. We don't. We get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. So then I realized, well, it can't mean that here. It can't mean that here. So what I have come to realize is that Paul suffered tremendously in his life. And this is Paul talking. Paul wrote this text, so he's talking. So I believe that the comfort that Paul brought into people's lives came as a result of him suffering in his life. Because when Paul suffered in his life, he went to Jesus. He didn't just suffer on his own. He went to Jesus Christ. Therefore, his suffering caused him to be very, very close to Jesus Christ. The more he suffered, the closer he got to Jesus, and the more effective his ministry was. So when Paul shared, he was sharing from his own very personal understanding and very personal firsthand knowledge of the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit was. He knew the Holy Spirit well, and that caused him to be very credible. Paul spoke with authority. He knew Jesus well. The Holy Spirit, in other words, flowed through him very freely. Very freely. So when Paul shared the gospel, it was the Holy Spirit through him. When Paul spoke, it was the comfort of the Holy Spirit for some and the truth of the Spirit, the gospel for some, or maybe both. Maybe both. When Paul spoke, people listened, and God brought comfort and salvation through Paul's sufferings. Because Paul, when he did suffer, he went to Jesus in his sufferings. He believed what he said. He knew Jesus well. He believed what he said. The Holy Spirit through him. Ladies, in all of our sufferings in our lives, no matter what our suffering is, no matter what it is, there's a greater purpose in our suffering beyond us. Beyond us. The comfort that we receive from the Holy Spirit through other people is not intended for us to keep. It's intended for us in the moment, but it's intended for us to be shared, passed on. And it becomes comfort of the Holy Spirit in other people's lives. That's why it has power. You know, if you think about it, if we're nice, I think most of us, you know, I hope most of us are nice. We'd want, if somebody's suffering, we want to help, we want to comfort them. But if it's just us going to them, apart from the Lord in us, how, you know, we can offer just so much comfort, but we're not going to be as effective, we're not going to be anywhere near effective as the Holy Spirit. So that's why when we are comforted by someone, and we really are comforted, and it's a sister in Christ, someone who is Spirit-filled, that's why we know the comfort. That's why comfort changes us and is effective and helps us. Because it's the Holy Spirit who is coming alongside of us, the Paraclete who lives inside of us. It's the fellowship of believers. It's the fellowship of believers. That's what it is. It's a fellowship of believers, and it's fellowship that is happening. So then down to verse 7. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. And the word share here literally means intimate fellowship with each other. Intimate fellowship with each other, ladies. It's spirit to spirit. It's a John 4:24 talks about this. It's a spirit in me witnessing to the Spirit in you in the form of comfort. That's what it is. The Holy Spirit in me and the Holy Spirit in you. That is the comfort that we bring to one another. Verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so much so that we despaired even of life. This is Paul talking. You know, sometimes in the church we act like, or we kind of think we should act like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good because, you know what, I love Jesus and, you know, I'm good. You know, we don't want to share our suffering so much, you know. I mean, I think that that's true. I think that there's truth in that. And I think we should share definitely our sufferings wisely. We should share wisely with people who we feel that we can trust. People who we believe that will not hurt us, that will share that information with other people, you know, apart from our knowing, apart from our permission, so to speak. Everybody suffers. This is Paul. I mean, he's saying we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so much so that we despaired even of life. I mean, that's suffering. This guy knew what it was like to suffer. And in 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 28, Paul describes some of his suffering there. He knew what it was to suffer. And then verse 9, he says, even in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. I mean, really, that is suffering. This is just so hard. It just feels like I need to be done. I mean, that we felt the sentence of death. Then the text says, but this happened that we might rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. On God who raises the dead. And you know why that matters? Because what Paul is saying here is he's saying that the sufferings that we endure in our lives are the sufferings that need to move us from self-reliance to Holy Spirit dependence. That's what he's getting at. That's what Paul is saying here. That's what he's saying. Paul is a suffering, godly man. Paul understood what it was to suffer. I have a story that I want to share. I know the text seems so fast. It's powerful text, though. I mean, it's powerful. I really do think that we believe in the church that it's not okay for us to have anything wrong or any kind of a problem. You know, and how can we be normal women and not have problems? I mean, right? I mean, we all have problems. I mean, if it's not with ourselves, it's with our children somehow. You know, we get concerned about, you know, our kids or our kids get in trouble, you know, in school. In middle school. I mean, our kids have issues in middle school. Middle school is hard, you know. Those are hard years for our kids. There's all kinds of, you know, and then our kids get even older, and then whatever sufferings our kids have, they become our sufferings as well. You know, there's just no stop. There's no end, it seems, to suffering. I think now we're all depressed. But it's just real, and the point of what I'm trying to say is, it's okay if we suffer. It's okay. It's not something we need to hide from or shy away from because we're Christians. Instead, it's something that we need to embrace and go to Jesus with. And then when we encounter him through another person, through someone who loves him, his spirit in them, to our spirit in us, then it's something that we embrace also, and then we carry with us to other people who are suffering. That's it. That's the fellowship of the Spirit between believers. That's the fellowship of the Spirit between believers. And that's an awesome, beautiful thing, I think, you know? And sometimes even though we suffer and we might have received the comfort of the Holy Spirit through another sister in Christ, maybe we don't want to carry that suffering, that comfort that we've received in the suffering, because we don't want somebody else to know that we needed comfort. You know, and we need to do that. It's part of being a well-oiled working body of Christ. That's what it is to be the body of Christ. It's okay for us to do this. It's okay. And I know this happens in some ways in our church and in amazing ways. It does. And when you see it, you know it. You don't have to wonder, gee, are they just talking so that people can know what their problem is? And, oh, it's okay, honey, it'll be okay, but now I know what your problem is, and I'm going to tell like four people. You can tell when it's that, and you can tell when it's the Lord working. Because when it's the Lord working, amazing things happen in people's lives. Amazing things. Things that you are able to say in your mind, that makes no sense to me. I have no idea why she would think that after that happened. You know what? I think if that happened to me, then I would think this. And you know what? That in the moment, that might be right. If something really bad happens to a friend of ours, we might be thinking, boy, if that happened to me, I'm pretty sure that I wouldn't. I don't know where she's getting that from. You know where she's getting it from? From the Holy Spirit, through other people who are sharing their comfort that they have received with her. You know, and if one day it happens to us, then hopefully one of us will go to one of us and share the comfort that we have received. And then people will look at us and go, wow, why is she thinking that? Why would she even be able to say that? After all that happened to her, I wouldn't be able to. It's because the Lord does that. It's not because we do it. It's because the Lord does it. He is the one with the power. He is, ladies. We are just the vessel. We don't have any power of our own. Not any power of our own. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. So I want to share a story this morning. I want to talk a little bit about my mom, my relationship with my mom. 20 or 25 years ago, I did share the first night that, you know, my story, you know, growing up and stuff with my mom and how difficult our relationship was, continued to be very difficult for many years, many. Actually, it wasn't difficult, we just didn't have a relationship together. Until about 20, 25 years ago, maybe 20. And I knew, you know, and I struggled for years about forgiving my mom. I struggled. I mean, I heard sermons on forgiveness, and I thought, those people don't have a clue. The reason that those people can say those things about forgiveness is because they've never had an issue of forgiveness in their whole entire life. Because if they did, they wouldn't say that stuff, you know. I had almost a chip on my shoulder, kind of almost a self-righteousness about forgiveness and about the fact that, gee, I'm so happy and thankful to take God's forgiveness for myself, but when it came time to passing it on, maybe not always. Maybe mostly, but maybe for my mom, not so much. Maybe for my mom, maybe something else needed to be done. Maybe Jesus' blood wasn't enough for my mom, you know? And so I was taking a class, a counseling class at this particular time, and you know, counseling classes are tough because everything's role play. You know, everything's role play, and it's just downright embarrassing sometimes. So in this particular time, it was my turn to role play. I was kind of pretending to be the client, and so there were, I don't know how many people in a room, 10 or 15 people in a room, all in a circle because, you know, in a counseling class, you're all like cozy and all that cozy stuff, touchy-feely, you know. And so I'm sharing about my mom, and I'm going on and on and on, and I'm getting like really mad and like really upset about all the stuff. And I thought, this cannot, you know, I thought for years, the stuff with my mom, it just can't hurt me because I'm not going to let it hurt me. I'm done. I'm just done. So whatever. Doesn't bother me a bit. So, but as I'm sharing, I really surprised myself because I started to get really worked up and it just, you know, just how nothing, it just wasn't right. The injustice of it all just didn't seem right to me. You know, all that stuff. And I thought I was kind of free because I was in a counseling class, you know, and these people were going to understand because they were nice. They were counseling types, you know. But about halfway through the class, you know, the instructor just stops me. And in front of the whole class, he basically says to me, you have problems with bitterness, you know, and you have problems with unforgiveness. And he starts, and then he starts teaching the class on forgiveness and what forgiveness means. And I'm like a puddle at this point, and I'm embarrassed, I'm mad, how dare he? He doesn't understand, why would he do this to me? Why would he, blah, 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 all of that, all of my, you know, flesh kind of flared up there. And then afterwards, the teacher spent a little bit of time with me, and he said, you know, you do believe that God forgave you, right? Yes. Well, the Bible says if you believe that God forgave you, then if you have issues of forgiveness in your life, you just need to forgive. I'm like, well, what, I mean, I don't know. Okay, but that's way easier than it sounds. And he's like, yeah, no, it isn't. Forgiveness is simply an act of obedience. It's an act of obedience. It has nothing to do with what we feel. And somebody said that the other night. I forget who, but somebody did. And that somebody was right. It has nothing to do with what we feel. It's not an emotional decision, in other words. It's an act of obedience. And when we go to God in prayer and say, God, and like I did with my mom, Lord, I don't really want to forgive because I don't think it's okay. I don't think I should really have to. But God, since you have brought me to the end of myself, and he did in a powerful, powerful, powerful way. But since you've done this now, Lord, and since I see it's an act of obedience, okay, I forgive my mom with an attitude. But okay, that's right, Lord, but I do. I forgive my mom. And with that step of obedience, with the step of obedience comes revelation every time. So what happened was I forgave my mom. And with the revelation, the steps, you know, the continuing revelation that the Lord showed me, and the Lord was working in my mom's heart at the same time. And the Lord, this horrible relationship that I had with my mom and then this non-relationship that I had with my mom became a most beautiful most amazing. My mom became a believer years after I did. She loved Jesus. It became this most beautiful and amazing relationship that any mother and daughter can have ever. And only God can do that, because I didn't even want it. Only God can do it. But that's what God did. That's what God did. And I'm so thankful that he did. I'm so thankful that he did. I'm thankful that he did because just about a year ago, my mom went to be with Jesus. And I have to tell you, I don't know when I felt more excruciating pain. And I was glad to have it, because it meant that I loved my mom. And it meant that I knew the love of a mother, my mother. And it meant that God had done this most amazing and beautiful thing in our lives together. You know, I mean, we loved each other and we loved Jesus together, my mom and I. Before my mom went to be with Jesus, for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years before she did, she was sick and a lot. She had many health problems. That was hard for me because, you know, I just love my, I talked to her all the time on the phone, you know, and, you know, I wanted to help as much as I could with her and stuff. And she was in a nursing home for a while. But I couldn't do a ton because I lived in Virginia and my mom lived in Maine, you know, and so it was kind of long distance. A lot of it was long distance. And I just wanted to be with my mom. I wanted to touch her, you know. I needed to do that. I had this tremendous need to be with my mom. And I went about every 3 months, but that wasn't enough. But my family was here, so it was pretty much all I could do. But I wanted to spend every minute that I could with my mom because her health was declining very quickly. I mean, talking with her on the phone about Jesus wasn't the same thing at all about talking with her in person about Jesus. So I talked to the Lord about it, you know, and I said, I'm really frustrated. You know, I want so much to be there with my mom, for my mom. And I wasn't sure what to do about that. And we talked to my mom a little bit about the possibility of moving to Virginia. But of course, she had so many doctors, I don't know, a trillion doctors in Maine. And she wasn't willing to leave her doctors. And I understood that. She was frightened, you know, to step away from her doctors. I got that. So I prayed to the Lord about that and asked him, you know, Lord, well, that's not going to work. So, yeah, I just don't know what to do, Father. But I need to do this for my mom and I can't. So the Lord did something very unusual. 3 or 4 years ago, I taught a Bible study, and there was a woman in the study who I never met before in my life. Her name was Nancy. And still today, Nancy is a friend of mine, but she's a friend in the spiritual sense, meaning I don't really know a lot about her life, little bits and pieces, and she doesn't really know a lot about mine, but we pray for each other. I mean, that we do. We pray for each other. And this woman, Nancy, was in my class, and I never met her before then. But she introduced herself, you know, because I was leaving the class, and she came up because she was nice after and said, you know, I'm Nancy, and I said hi and all that. It's very, you know, typical stuff. And then as the weeks unfolded, it must have been probably a 10 or 12-week class, I don't know. The weeks unfolded, every week Nancy would come over and talk to me after class. And then every time she did, we'd share a little bit more information with each other. And so I learned that she had a sister who lived in Maine, and I said, oh, that's interesting, my mom lives in Maine. She said, yeah, my sister lives in Portland, or near Portland. And I said, oh, my mom lives near Bangor, it's way up there, you know, there's like a 2-hour difference. And she shared that her mom had Alzheimer's disease, and I'm pretty sure, if I'm right about this, I think I am, that her mom had already been gone to be with Jesus at this point. And she said to me, because I told her that as my mom got sicker and sicker with so many health problems physically, she also got Alzheimer's disease. And she didn't get it bad. She got it bad enough to where she would forget stuff, and toward the end, she couldn't write and stuff. She couldn't remember how to write, but she didn't forget who I was. She didn't forget, you know, so it didn't get very, very bad. Just touches of it we started to see. So I told her, you know, my mom was just diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And she said to me, you should talk to my sister, you know, who lives in Maine, in Portland, 2 hours away from where your mom lives. And I thought, oh, that would be nice. That's nice. You know, because what do you say? I mean, I don't know. That is so sweet. Gosh, that would be nice. You know, so within a couple weeks, you know, every time she came, the next week would come and she'd say, you know, I talked to my sister, and my sister wants your phone number. Is it okay? Is it okay if I give her your phone number? And I said, well, okay. You mean your sister, like, who lives in Portland, okay. She said, my sister is a wonderful caretaker. My own mom, she told me, my own mom, she cared for my mom when she was sick, even before she got Alzheimer's. She cared for her. She's a wonderful caretaker. And I said, again, that's nice. That is so nice. I mean, I'm so glad for you, you know. So she talked with her sister, Gloria, and then within the next couple weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, toward the end of the class, I finally understood that this woman meant business. She wasn't just trying to be nice, you know, and I felt kind of bad about that. But, you know, what she was saying to me was something very unusual. What she was saying to me is, I talked to my sister, Gloria, and it would be her pleasure to go and visit your mom on a regular basis, and to spend time with your mom and do those things with your mom that you feel so badly over the fact that you can't do it because you live in Virginia. And I have to tell you that this woman, her and her husband both, they actually started to go to visit my mom in the nursing home. And this woman, she did all the things, and she learned to love my mom with real love. I mean, not just being nice, you know, it's probably the right thing to do because after all, I'm a caretaker type. But she really loved my mom, and she did all those things that I would have done with my mom and did do with my mom when I was there. She did. She talked with her, she helped her, she laughed with her, she talked about Jesus. She talked to my mom about being sick. She talked to my mom about dying. She talked with my mom about having Alzheimer's disease. She prayed with her. She put cream on her. You know, she touched her, she brushed her hair, she did all of those things that I could not do. And the most amazing thing to me is there was nothing in me that was like, well, that's nice and all, but I really just want it to be me. You know, I didn't have any sense of, jealousy isn't maybe the right word, but something in that area. You know, I didn't have any sense of bad feelings because now this woman, you know, who does she think she is? She's going, I loved her. I loved her. The Lord sent this woman intentionally. When she cared for my mom, she was caring for me. She was caring for me because it was the Holy Spirit in this woman, Gloria, in this beautiful woman, who was ministering to the Spirit in my mom, who was bringing and delivering real comfort. It was God's comfort that she was bringing to my mom. And when she did that, she brought God's comfort to me because I was so sad that I couldn't be there for my mom and with my mom. It was amazing. It was amazing. It was amazing. And then the other good thing that Gloria did when she was there, because sometimes, you know, especially more toward the end, I would talk to my mom on the phone, and then we'd have a nice talk for maybe an hour on the phone, and then I'd hang up and say, I have no idea what we talked about. You know, because she had Alzheimer's, you know, and she didn't get really bad, but she did get to the point where sometimes she wasn't making a lot of sense, you know, and she'd tell me things like, you know, the nurses here gave me too much medicine, and this is bad, and this happened, and then that happened, and then I'd wait for Gloria to call me and say, okay, what's really going on? And that brought me so much comfort. I didn't have to guess. And I had somebody to tell me it was Jesus telling me. It was Gloria, you know, sharing the comfort that she herself had received from the Lord as she cared for her own sick mom. She was sharing that comfort with me. And therefore, it was effective. And therefore, I had no feelings of, but Lord, I really want it to be me. Thanks for sending Gloria, but whatever. You know, I really want it to be me. Or I really think it should be my sister who doesn't live that far away, but who worked full time, and it was very hard for her to be able to do that. There was none of that. And it was because of what God did. It was because that God did it. That's why it was. That's why it was. You know, and the interesting thing is that when my mom spent time with Gloria, she was like way happy. First of all, my mom couldn't believe that this woman would travel, this very beautiful woman would travel 2 hours one way to sit with my mom for 4 hours, and then she'd drive back home. You know? She just couldn't believe that somebody cared so. Actually, my mom couldn't believe that Jesus loved her so much that this woman came and spent time with her. This woman who loved Jesus, and they talked about Jesus constantly, a lot, and they talked about practical things. But my mom was so amazed by God's love for her because of this woman, Gloria, because of what she did. When my mom was with Gloria, she knew the presence of God. She knew the presence of God in Gloria. And you know, my mom was dying. This was incredibly powerful for her. Incredibly powerful. She was truly comforted, the Holy Spirit, through Gloria. And so was I. I mean, Gloria was doing all of those things that I wanted so badly and felt that I so desperately needed to do. And I started to love Gloria. I mean, I love this woman. I do love this woman, this beautiful woman that God sent. You know, and then there was actually one time, there might have been two times, when I went as often as I could, you know, and there were a couple times I spent a longer period of time, maybe a month or something, with my mom. And then Gloria would come to see me, you know, when I would be there and spend time with her. She'd say, "No, I don't want to interfere. I'd say, "No, are you kidding? Come, come. I need to know you. I need to see who you are. You love Mom. I need to know you." It was amazing. It was amazing. The one thing that I know for sure is I am so, so glad that this woman, Gloria, knew and loved Jesus, and that she walked in the Spirit in her relationship with Jesus, her Lord. Because as she did, everything that she did for my mom, she knew from him. She knew to do things for my mom that I didn't know because I wasn't there to see. What a tremendous blessing. What a tremendous blessing. All of this, ladies, this is so unusual, because think about how this happened. This all happened because there was a woman in my Bible study class who I didn't know, really, that I just met in my class, who called her sister that I didn't know to talk about my mom, who they didn't know, and then her sister ended up going and ministering to my mom in amazing, incredible ways. I mean, really? I mean, that's how God works. That's how God works. I don't know really. This is such a tender topic for me. I don't know when I've been more completely blessed and known Jesus' love so powerfully than this. That's how amazing it is. Ladies, if I had not forgiven my mom, I'd be talking to you now about regret. You know? Regret. Forgiveness is important, and I know repentance takes care of regret, but I know, but and that would be okay. I mean, you know, I'd have to go to the Lord with that, with my sin of unforgiveness, and through my repentance, I know that the Lord would heal my regret. He would heal that, but I also know that I would have missed the most amazing, beautiful mother-daughter relationship that I had with my mom. And it wasn't just like, I don't even think I can say that the Lord restored my relationship with my mom, because it was better than restored. It was a new relationship. It was brand new. It wasn't fixed up. It was brand new. Then, when my mom went to be with Jesus, Gloria came to be with me. The comfort of the Holy Spirit flowing through her to me. Is that not beautiful? There was just so much love. And then when my sister died, which was actually before my mom died, a few months before my mom died, Gloria came to be with me and my mom together. She became like part of our family. And her sister Nancy, who is the woman who lives in Virginia, also did become part of our family in the spiritual sense. You know, she prays for my family constantly, all of my family. That's what God does. This is a picture of the God of all comfort. This is a picture. Now, when Gloria came, she didn't bring just her expertise. She brought the Holy Spirit. And we saw him. And the people at the nursing home saw him. Everyone who looked saw him, saw Jesus in and through Gloria. In and through Gloria. And they saw the effect that the Holy Spirit had on my mom and on me and on my sister. What they saw was her faith expressed in the love of Jesus Christ. That's what they saw. And then at my mom's memorial service, I got to share and I got to tell the gospel. I got to say, this is the Jesus who my mom loves. Let me tell you about him. And I did. And those people were more willing to believe the God that I was telling them about. They were more willing to listen about the God that I was telling them about because of what they saw Gloria do. Because they had already seen God working. They just maybe didn't know it was God. And women got saved. It is important for all of us, ladies, to live unhindered lives in Christ and to walk in the Spirit and to be obedient to his leading. We never know what God might ask of us. We never know. And we can't know unless we walk with him. There's no way we can know practically. And if we don't walk with him, we won't have the power to do it. And if we don't walk with him, we won't have the power. We won't have the desire to do it. We won't have the desire. When I talk to Gloria today, and I do, all she talks about is the joy that she has in her life from knowing my mom and from fellowshipping with God in that way as she participated with him in ministry. The fellowship that she experienced with Jesus herself as she did this was life-changing for her and for me and for my mom and for my mom. Our lives don't just belong to us. They don't. We affect each other, ladies. As sisters in Christ, we affect each other. You know, and I think there's a lot of family stuff that's hard. Family stuff is hard. I know it can be. I mean, I spend a lot of time talking to women where family stuff is hard. I get it. And it's been hard in my life. I get it. But forgiveness, it releases us. We think in terms of forgiveness. Why would I release them? Oh, it has nothing to do with that. Forgiveness releases us. It releases us from holding them to some expectation that they never met or can't meet or for whatever it is that they did. For whatever it is. It's so important for us to realize that when we walk in the Spirit personally, meaning individually, that what that means is that we walk collectively in the Spirit as the body of Christ. We are the living, breathing body of Christ. We are the living, breathing representation of Jesus Christ to the world. That's what we are. Not in a way of, oh, I better get it right. I better do it right because after all, I want to represent Jesus accurately. No. No. It has to do with the Spirit living in and through us. It's what he shows the world through us, often through each other, you know, both ways, me through Alex and Alex through me in terms of comfort in our lives. You know, it shows. It's so important for the world to see authenticity in the church and honesty in the church and loving sisters in Christ to see that we are different, that we're not bound, that we're not stuck, that we're not condemned, that we live our lives openly in love with Jesus Christ. That's what's attractive. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what's attractive, because we are not. We are not spiritually attractive. But Jesus is inside of every one of us, if we will walk with him. If I go back to one of the verses I talked about earlier, Galatians 5, Paul comes right at it and says, when it comes to our walk with the Lord, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that matters is that we love well. Gloria loved well. And my mom and I were both affected, and many people were affected. We are choice free, ladies. We are free from the penalty of sin, and because of that, we are further free from the bondage of sin. We are free to know Jesus' love and to love him in return as we love one another. We are free to walk in the Spirit intimately in close fellowship with Jesus Christ and with one another. I used to think, and there's truth in this, so it's not something I used to think that was wrong, but the church is the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and Jesus Christ shines himself through the church. That's absolutely true. But now the Lord has shown me something different as well. John 17 is one of my, it must be my very favorite chapter of the Bible, in the whole entire Bible, John 17. And it's a prayer where Jesus prays. You can see the unfolding of this prayer where Jesus prays. And he prays for us. He prays for people who were believers at the time. And he's on his way to the cross. He prayed for the future body of Christ. And it's amazing to me that he did that when he's on the way to the cross. That's just amazing. So I want to read this, John 17, 20 through 23, in the Amplified Bible, because I think it just says it so well here. Neither for these alone do I pray, Jesus speaking, praying to his Father, speaking of those who came before we did. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for those who will come to me, believe in me through their word and teaching. And that is us. And his request was, Father, to keep us, to help us to know that we are one with him, that he is one with the Father and we are one with him, and that we can walk with him. In him. That's what he was praying at that point in time. And this is a part, well, actually it says, this part, it says that they may know that they may be one just as you, Father, are in me and, no, I have to back up, this is scripture. Okay. That they all may be one just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. The world will see the love and unity, the fellowship that we have with one another, and the love that we share together for Jesus. What it's talking about here is that the world will see the fellowship, the love that we have for one another, the fellowship that we share. And then there's this. This is the most exciting part to me, that the world will see and recognize in our love for one another that God sent Jesus Christ and that Jesus Christ is God. Think about that. Jesus Christ is visible through us, through our love for one another and the love that we share together in Christ through the Spirit in us. The world will see our faith expressed in love. And you know why it matters? You know why it matters? In a world system where religions are many and God's love is seen as something that can be earned or bargained for and must be completely fed for him to be pleased, where God is known but Jesus Christ is not acknowledged to be God, this is huge. So the world will know that you sent me and I am the Christ. See that? That's profound. Jesus Christ is God. He cannot be dissected away from the Trinity. He cannot. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all one God. We must live our lives in the freedom that God has given us through Jesus Christ. We must stand firm, ladies, and be careful not to let ourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We must be mastered only by our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Only by our Master, Lord Jesus Christ. You know why, ladies? It's for Him. Our lives here are not just for us. They're for Him. They're for God. They're for Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. That's why. That's why all this matters so much. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to know this. Father, give us desire. Father, I pray. I know it's an act of obedience, Lord, and I pray that we will walk in the Spirit, Father, and I pray that the world will see that you are God, Lord Jesus, that you are God. Father, that's what separates us from every religion in the world, that we are not a religion. Father, everything with you and us is relationship, eternal relationship. Father, help us in that. Father, it's such a beautiful thing that you have given us the body, that we are the living, breathing members of the actual physical body of Jesus Christ, that we are His body, His representation of who He is, of His light to the world. Father, and because of that, Lord, because of that, we're gonna have communion now, Father, as a body, as a body. And Father, I pray that as we do, Lord, that we'll think about this. We'll think about who we are in you, and we'll think about how we affect one another in the body, Father. And we'll think about our opportunity to walk with you in the Spirit, Father, so that we know what that means, that we will walk with you. And most certainly, most importantly, that you will be honored in our lives. That you will be honored. Everything about us, Father, will be honoring to you, because it will be you in us bringing honor to yourself. Father, help us. Help us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray these things, all of them, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.